I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya here in the continent of Africa. And we continue with our discussion about our continent. And today we look at Liberia, this country whose flag resembles that of the United States of America, but has only a single star. How did it come about? We must remember that Liberia is a product of the process of slavery. The slaves who were taken to the United States were drawn from different parts, largely from the western coast of Africa. But ultimately, when they went down south, there were those who took the view that the freed slaves should be released. And ironically, a private company called the American Colonization Society. And it must be remembered, the word is colonization. The United States of America was not a typical classical colonizer in the manner that Europeans were. Indeed, they themselves, the United States of America, is a colony. It was colonized by the British, and then subsequently large swathes of it were bought either from the French or from the Mexican or by way of war. But ultimately, the United States of America, as we know it, was created. And we know that the desire for freedom and the desire to settle is something that was alive, particularly when slavery was abolished. And those who were abolishing slavery took the view that the individuals who had been freed could be relocated back to the mother continent of Africa. That was during the presidency of James Monroe. And in 1822, the territory now known as Liberia was created. Remember, the word Liberia also is very closely related with the word liberty, and that therefore they were freed. And in honor of James Monroe, the capital of Liberia also became Monrovia. And that is the situation in which the people found themselves. But very important to note, and the author who has written about this history a lot more effectively is himself a Liberian, the late Abayomi Koniga. Abayomi Koniga has narrated how it is that the territory was settled. The first thing is that African Americans of light skin were the ones who were brought to the continent of Africa in Liberia to be the rulers. The second category were the Americans of dark skin, who in the hierarchy of things became the second class citizens. And then they found people who were the indigens, who were not part of those who had been taken to the United States. So in 1822, you establish Liberia, and then in 1847, and even prior to that, what the US naval forces were doing is that they were rescuing those who had been taken to, in the process of being taken to the United States of America, but were shipwrecked. And these were individuals who were taken not only from the territory of Liberia, but as far as what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo and Congo Brazzaville, or Republic of Congo. And that is how you ended up with people in Liberia called the Congos. So in 1847, Liberia declared its independence at a time when James Monroe had left the presidency, and the president, I think, at that time was James Polk. And when it became independent, the difference between the emphasis between The Liberian mulattoes and the dark-skinned Liberians and the Congos disappeared. So that today, when you go to Liberia, when you visit Liberia, the term the Congos is almost used as if it referred to all Americo-Liberians. But that dichotomy is still there. Americo-Liberians, and you can see it in the naming, that they will normally have names that are English, so that their presidents are Tubman, Talbot, and that kind of name. And of course, there are others who are now Christianity is dominant in certain parts where which is dominated by the Americo-Liberians. Then you have those who are Muslims. The Malinke are also to be found there, who are Muslims. And what has happened in Liberia, and what happened in Liberia for a very long time, is that the society was very divided. Very divided, that even when companies such as Firestone established their factories in Liberia and were making, producing rubber that was then used at the Firestone factories in the United States, you could see that the Americo-Liberians were not in tandem or working in tandem with the indigens. It was a stratified society where those who were the returnees considered themselves to be superior, and in many cases also had dual citizenship. The families were split. You'd have the husband and the wife in Liberia, but they were still loyal to their mother countries, as if they were on a rescue ship, but the mothership remained the United States of America. And this did produce and lead to resentment by the indigenous. It was, in fact, during the presidency of Tubman in the 1970s that efforts started to be made. And these efforts were designed to ensure that the differences and the discrimination that defined the Liberian society were eliminated or reduced. But this did not happen as quickly as it was expected or as quickly as was necessary, with the consequence that the indigens started complaining and agitating. So when Tubman ceased to be the president and was succeeded by Talbot, these efforts were continuing apace, but the army and the indigens, particularly the young ones, were very dissatisfied and saying that these Americo-Liberians have discriminated against us for too long, have controlled us for too long, and for that reason, in 1980, there was a coup d'etat. And that coup d'etat, as we now know, gave birth to the regime of Samuel Kanyando. Samuel Kanyando is famous for eliminating and, of course, the mass elimination of quite a number of ministers who served in the Talbot administration. And after that, Samuel Kanyando, of course, instead of incorporating the entire population, including people from other ethnicities, also fell into the trap of tribalism. And he must be understood. Samuel Kanyando, Master Sergeant Samuel Kanyando, was a low-ranked officer in the army. And given that low rank, it means, among other things, that he did not have much exposure. In fact, people say that he was not just semi-literate, that he was illiterate, but that notwithstanding, he became the head of state. And because of tribalism, it started breeding resentment. And that resentment then brought to the fore different individuals, including Charles Taylor. And when Charles Taylor, who was at one time serving his jail time in the United States and is of mixed parentage, came in, then there was the conflict. Of course, there were elections which were won by Charles Taylor. But Charles Taylor then got entangled into the war in Sierra Leone, and ultimately there was a problem in Liberia, and we know the conflict that took place in Liberia, leading to the ECOMOG, a force that was led by the Nigerians, which stabilized the situation. During that period, Samuel Kanyando was arrested. And when he was arrested, we know how he was tortured by Prince Johnson, who was one of his comrades, and he was tortured before live camera and parts of his body eaten, as people were seeing. Prince Johnson did that, and they tortured Samuel Kanyando. Ultimately, of course, the international community was involved in the Liberian situation leading up to an interim government and leading up to the election of a lady who had served in the administration of Talbot, that is Ellen Sirleaf, and she became the president of Liberia, stabilized the situation a little. The economy did not grow as was anticipated. Ultimately, it led to the election of a footballer, George Oppong-Weah, and George Oppong-Weah did his term. And during that period, Taylor was jailed. And after George Oppong-Weah, we now have President Boakai, who himself served in the administration, the earlier administrations. And Liberia, even as we speak of her now, remains a fairly divided society, divided on the basis of the original sin and the original seed that was planted by the pioneering returnees from the American colonization society. And there is a lesson perhaps that one must learn from Liberia, that this romantic idea that when you transplant Africans who had gone away from the continent of Africa into the United States and into the Caribbean, and you bring them to the continent of Africa, you are resolving a problem. It must be re-examined. We must not romanticize, because these are people who are dislocated from their mother continent for no less than 500 years. They have lost their language. They have lost their original culture. They have acquired a new culture. They are coming into a territory which is still peopled by individuals who never suffered the same fate, whose culture is, in a manner of speaking, still intact but not fossilized. And therefore, attitudes must change, minds must change, the difficulties must be realized. It must be understood that the blackness of the skin in and of itself is not a solution. So Liberia is a lesson that we should not follow the same model. Those who choose to come back to the continent have a duty to change their mindset. Those who remained in the continent have a duty to change their mindset. And in a manner of speaking, we must receive those who went away in the spirit of what the Bible records as the prodigal son. But the prodigal sons and daughters must also have the spirit of forgiveness and the spirit of acceptance. If we do so, then the debacle of Liberia will not happen again. Because Liberia, having regained or gained independence in the year 1847, should be the shining star of the continent. But still, there is a lot of work to be done. To be positive about it, there are lessons to be learned. It is our duty to learn those lessons, that when people are separated, it is never easy to bring them back again. It takes effort on the part of those who left and on the part of those who did not leave. That is the lesson of Liberia. It is a lesson that we must take positively. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have looked at this unique country created in 1822 and then, of course, becoming independent in 1847, Liberia. And we will continue our discussion about the continent of Africa in other areas and in different aspects. See you again.